in their 50s that wear the flat brim hat. Oh. You know? Oh. This is such a bad look.
Here's one. I borrowed Putty's car, and all the presets on his radio were Christian rock stations.
I like Christian rock. It's very positive. It's not like those real musicians who think they're so cool and hip.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And mothers have as much, you know, kind of dress like they're 22 years old. So they have as much to blame, even though that doesn't bother me as much.
Oh. Wonder why.
Shocking.
Skateboard over the shoulder at 55. Get a life, bro. Come on, what are we doing?
She's not a me. I'm a me.
I'm against all its me's. So self-absorbed and egotistical. It's like those hip musicians with their complicated shoes.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It just dawned on me listening to that open. But Chewy's just a tall George Costanza.
You think so?
I mean, you're just complaining about everything the last couple
non-stop.
Of days.
Not everything.
You're.
But look at you, Gabe, today, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Once again, best dressed of all of us.
Okay.
You win the award today.
All right, thank
you're
you.
You're 38, right?
37. I'll be 37. 38. You know, I'll be 38, you know, holding that off for a couple months here still.
And you got a curve to your hat.
Yeah, because that's...
That's appropriate.
Yeah. There right? are some hats... There are some hats I will say, Chew.
Yeah.
Like, I try to bend them, and they still kind of naturally come up, but I try to make sure there's at least a little bit of a bend in
them. Yes, as you should. Now, if you're in your 20s, you don't have to, but certainly 30s.
What's the cutoff? 32, 33,
35.
Early 30s?
Let's go with
okay,
35.
All right, that's fair.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Because I remember having a conversation because the flat brim hat was really coming into style when I was getting out of college.
Yeah.
You know, like Ricky, especially on the golf course, too.
Yes.
You know, so maybe, you know, because golf's like 5 years behind fashion,
yep.
You know, so
yeah.
Like Ricky Fowler wearing the flat brim hat. And I remember having that conversation with buddies on the golf course when I was living in Madison, like because I had one or two flat brim hats that I would wear. But I'm yes. in my 20s at that point, right? Like I'm like, okay, at what point can I not wear this anymore? And I think you just kind of realize it as you go along, you know?
But back to the angry, I think you guys, A, bring out the anger in me, and B, you like it.
Well, how do we bring out the anger in you?
Because you're a little older than my oldest kid. Joshy's right there.
Okay.
And I think kids are made, when they get older, to make you angry. Because you want them to do the exact same thing you did throughout your life.
Which is?
Weed whack the grass every time. Not every third time, every time.
Okay.
Clean up after your messes.
Okay. Again, these are all things I think that I mean, I don't weed whack. That's not part of the responsibilities I have as a tenant in the place in which I live. But, like, I'll shovel. I'll do some other things to help
okay.
out.
Okay. Yes.
But, like... Also, you don't see me in those situations. Like, I would like to think that you've seen me kind of clean up the studio here from time to time.
No, but you agitate your mom some just to get a rise out of your parents sometimes.
Oh, of course.
That's what you guys do here. That's what you do here.
What? So when's the last?
You steer me in a direction to get angry, and then you just let me go. You're such flippant antagonist, but you never admit it.
Well, because that's, I mean, has that happened on the show before? Clearly the answer is yes. Like nobody's trying to hide from that, Chew. That's clearly happened. But that's, you know, we sometimes you just got to get, you know, the engine revving of the big guy.
And it started with Beaker Big Bird. And then Josh,
assuming that's Ashton.
Yes,
yeah,
and then Joshy is the subtlest of subtle. Would you agree with that, Joshy?
Of all the people I know, I'll tell you this, Drew. Of all the people I know, in terms of being the biggest antagonists,
yes.
I mean, it's Josh is one on the list.
But Josh hides it well.
I'm not sure who number two is. I just know that there's a large gap between Josh and whoever number two is of the people I know and as big of antagonists that I know.
I think I get the best out of you when I antagonize you.
But you do antagonize.
Yeah, I antagonize everyone. That's just kind of what I do. Get a rise out of people. It's fun. It's entertaining.
So there's a section of the office, Chew, that they're called our PDS team, kind of lifting the curtain. They cold call. Like, they set up appointments for our sales team. And they cold call businesses. That's part of what they do. And they've been a part of the company for a while, even going back to, you know, 2018 when we were across the street in the Blue Building here downtown Milwaukee.
See, hold on, Gabe. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I thought the PDS was the security part of the business.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Okay.
That, you know, definitely not.
Nope.
All right, continue.
But Josh would walk in there because there was a time, like, it's a position that people graduate from pretty constantly. There's a lot of turnover in there because you'll go from PDS to being an actual salesperson here in this company. But there was a time when that was a NBA heavy group and they would be having NBA conversations all the time. Josh would love to walk in there, throw out ridiculous takes that he had no chance of ever believing, just to watch everyone melt down.
Things I didn't even really care about. Like, it wasn't, but I knew it would get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
And they would start yelling at each other. There would be vocal disagreements.
Yeah, like,
it would get testy.
That's the crazy part about Josh's genius, is because, Chew, like, he'll antagonize you, but somehow you'll get, you know, like, you'll be yelling at me, and you'll think it's my fault. And Josh, that's what makes Josh a genius at it, because he'll get people riled up and not even realize that he's the one who did it. And then he'll walk out of the room wiping his hands clean of the situation.
But do people in the building know this?
Some do.
There's a few.
You know who Josh is? I just, new nickname. Rounders, he's Worm.
He's got a little worm to him.
He's Worm from Rounders.
If he started carrying cigarettes in the pocket of the flannel, I think that would really bring together the Worm ideology.
Yeah.
It has to be a soft pack, too.
So when you guys yelled at me today for being old and angry, it's not really my fault.
Oh, no. So but here's the problem. You're not the only one being old and angry, former NFL player today.
Who else?
You and Tom Brady.
What's up with TB12? What's his problem?
So TB12, this is his show with Jim Gray, right?
No, this was on the Stephen A. podcast.
Oh, this was on the Stephen A. podcast. Okay, I apologize. I got confused. I thought he does the hit on Monday nights on Westwood One. So this was on the Stephen A. podcast. Listen to what your boy TB12 had to say.
I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. Yeah. I don't see the excellence that I saw in the past.
Why not? Why not?
I think the coaching isn't as good as it was. I don't think the development of young players is as good as it was. The rules have allowed a lot of bad habits to get into the actual performance of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think the product, in my opinion, is less than what it's been. I think I look at a lot of players like Ray Lewis and Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott and guys that impacted the game in a certain way, and every hit they would have made would have been a penalty.
Mm.
You hear coaches complaining about their own player being tackled and not necessarily – why don't they talk to their player about how to protect themselves? We used to work on the fundamentals of those things all the time.
Totally agree.
Now they're trying to be regulated all the time.
Totally
offensive
agree.
Players need to protect themselves. It's not up to a defensive player to protect the offensive player. A defensive player needs to protect himself. I didn't throw the ball to certain areas because I was afraid players were going to get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Wow.
I didn't throw it to the middle when I played Ray Lewis because you knock him out of the game and I couldn't afford to lose a good player.
So
might have been the smartest thing he's ever said in his entire life.
Chew, I think there's a lot of truth to what he's saying there, but he can't be that messenger.
Why not?
So he's talking about players protecting themselves? The NFL invented a rule to protect him specifically.
Yeah.
You couldn't, he blew out his knee in 2007,
yes,
you could no
you
longer
hit
go
a quarterback low anymore.
Correct. Like, so he can't be the guy, look, I understand he's saying a lot of things, but it's rich. It is rich for him to be out there being like, oh, players need to protect themselves. Dude, you're one of the players that the league protected, and because they protected, you were able to play until you were 45 years old.
But what if you put that in as a caveat at the end? Said, hey, I know I'm part of the problem when they...
If he's going to be self-aware about it, yes.
Let me just tell you what. Our 96 Super Bowl team would beat these guys on toughness alone. On toughness alone, these players today are the biggest. I was searching for about 7 words there.
And they just all came out at once as.
They're soft.
Oh my God. You know how bad Christian Watson would get worked in a locker room for playing the game and carrying himself the way he is?
How much of this could be solved, Chu? And I think because it's tough because you want the game to be safer, right? And some of those hits that Ronnie Lott and Ray Lewis and the guys that he mentioned there, Rodney Harrison would have, like, you, I understand legislating out. Honestly, I think a big part of it is the amount that coaches, he talks about specifically the development of young players. How much did you develop during the offseason, during two-a-days? Like, how big of that? Because that doesn't happen anymore. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers really took a step forward because Mike McCarthy was able to get his hands on him and fix a lot of the fundamental issues that he had of being a Jeff Tedford quarterback and having the ball up by his ear as he's dropping back. And they're able to fix a lot of those things during the offseason outside of OTA time. Like, McCarthy, when he first got to Green Bay, famously had, like, his quarterback camps during the offseason, not during team time, but, hey, this is what we're going to do. If you want to be better, I mean, I don't know if he could mandate it at that point, people would show up, and the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks, would be there to learn the offense and be ready to go instead of learning it during OTAs and training camp.
What I would love to do, Gabe, is just take an offensive line cut from this last game and match it up with an offensive line cut from one of my years. And you just look at the technical coaching that happened when I played as of today. And here's the problem. They hire video game coaches, right? And then these coaches do not hire good coaches because they are threatened by good coaches. They're so afraid of losing their job to a coach that's better than them. I was just at Ohio State this weekend. The Ohio State and Dyson's roommates' brother was a tight end coach at Ohio State.
Okay.
The guy was a GA.
Yep.
A graduate assistant like a year or two ago, and he is the tight ends coach at 26 at Ohio State. At the number one. What a joke. That is a flipping joke. Okay? Because I know the progression it takes to be a coach. The problem is, hey, will you look at, you know, all this nepotism and crap.
Yeah.
I don't know how like a player in his eighth year could listen to the son of a coach who never played football. That's the problem. The technical issue of the game is a joke. I talk about route running.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't think there's a way you could do it, Gabe, but we do catch 22 this year with an offensive line and when I played, and you will be amazed by the technical difference. The steps are correct. That the shoulders together on a combination block are correct, because these are all things that we taught. Now, they brought this on themselves because the players' union doesn't want to practice.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you don't want to practice, and this is what happens when the money gets too big. I am with you when it comes to personal safety of the player, when it comes to the head.
Yes.
When it comes to the head. But when you can't peel back block and you can't cut the guys, which are a very effective tool, and it's pretty when it works, put flags on them. Put flags on them. Tom Brady is 1,000% correct.
How many coaches are good coaches but have to cut corners because they don't get enough time with the players?
I would say there's probably a good number.
You know, because I think you're right. I mean, you just take a look, especially around college football or the NFL, and you see, you know, you see the children of coaches who probably don't have business having the jobs, as you mentioned. Like, that happens all over the place.
Sure.
You know, so
it happens in probably everyday world, you know.
Oh, 100%.
In the world.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably some good coaches out there, too, that just don't get enough time with their players.
Yes, I would agree that's a big part of it. Big part of it. But come on, they're taking things out of the game. You can't cut inside the box.
But
you can't cut inside the box. You can't peel back block and block a guy without hitting him in the head. I mean, I'm sure, like you said, and we always revert back to the guys from the 60s saying the same thing about us.
Mm-hmm.
But this is on steroids. You had six padded practices during training camp. We had six practices in the first 3 days.
You sure it wasn't less than that?
It might have been.
Because sometimes, like you, because you were, especially earlier in your career, you were a special teamer.
Yeah, so I was doing double time.
So you would have three practices because you would have specific special teams practices.
Yeah. And the problem is, the ages that watch football are so spread across the board. Kids that are 23, 22 years old have no idea. They think that this is what it is. This is the game of football.
Yeah, I think it's especially when you start, and Jason Willey's going to join us next. So we'll continue this conversation with Jason. We'll continue it. But I think there's a quarterback issue in the NFL right now, and I think a lot of that has to deal with practice time and that you're not able, it's harder now for someone like Jordan Love to develop when you have a starter like Aaron Rodgers than it was even for Aaron Rodgers when he was behind Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Because the reps are so limited in practice because practice itself becomes limited.
I can't wait for the first or second day of heaven. I mean, it might take a while. But I can't wait. I'm going to say our 96 team, we're taking on the 2023. The score would be 704.
Well, what rules are you playing?
Ours.
Okay. What if you played in their rules?
We're playing by our rules.
I mean, I guess this is Chewy's heaven. He gets to decide the rules in which we play by. Jason Wilde, it's going to be a Dude Tuesday. Joins us next. Jen Gabe and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
Theoretically, you could certainly draft another quarterback now with the holes you have on the roster and the fact that you just seem committed to drafting defensive players in the first round.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you. Also sponsored by Century Foods. Win $700 in groceries from Century Foods as Century celebrates their 70th anniversary. Find the weekly code on Century's Facebook or Instagram and enter to win.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, although it'll just be once this week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Typically Thursday, Friday, obviously we'll be off for the holiday. So this is our only conversation with Jason, and it ends up being on a Dude Tuesday. Good morning, dude.
Whoa, it's a Dude Tuesday? What's up, man? How you doing, fellas?
Hi, buddy. I think we covered every day, maybe except for Monday. But Jason's not on Monday.
Jason's not on Monday, yeah.
Yes, I just caught myself.
The very rare Dude Tuesday.
Jason, where do you stand? Jason, where do you stand on Thanksgiving? Good. I think it's very overrated.
I agree. I try to be thankful every day of my life.
Yep.
And grateful. But I think if you have either played in the NFL in your case or covered the NFL in my case, I always say this to, we don't have a ton of family, so it's not like we miss out on a lot of big family gatherings. But I always say, you know what they call Thanksgiving in the NFL? Thursday.
Yeah.
No, right? If you're not playing on Thanksgiving, you're practicing on Thanksgiving. It's not like, I'll never forget, our friend Rob Domofsky, who joins all of our shows once a week, and is going to join us today, because he usually joins us on Friday, and we're going to go shopping at Fleet Farm on Black Friday, but I'll never forget, they do the turkey trot here in Green Bay, and the Packers practiced early. Mike McCarthy, big on family, right? Put his schedule where his mouth was on that kind of stuff. Him and Mike Sherman both would try and make sure, for example, if Christmas fell on a Thursday, they would try to either get as much work done as they could on Wednesday or Friday and give them Thursday off, or at the very least, have them practice late in the day on Christmas Day. I remember those practices vividly. But this Thanksgiving, he had practice early, so guys would get home and spend the day with their families. Well, Domofsky gets caught up in all kinds of turkey trot runners, and he gets the McCarthy. And we love Rob, but there are times where he has a mild temper, and he was really ticked off. I can't believe the one day the people in Green Bay decide to be fit. They're in my way to get to practice. And McCarthy just died laughing. It was amazing. But that's what I mean. Like, they still had practice, and if the Packers weren't playing in Detroit on Thursday, they'd be practicing at some point on Thursday to get ready for a Sunday game. So for us, it's not that big of a deal, that and the fact that we take our Halloween decorations down on November 1st and immediately start putting up Christmas decorations. That might be part of it, too, in our house.
Chew, does your hate for Thanksgiving...
It's not hate, Gabe. It's just overrated.
That's strong.
Does it go back to the Jason Garrett game?
Probably subconsciously. Yes.
Doesn't help.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
I just thought I'd throw it out there as a possibility.
See, Jason, we started the show, all right? They're saying I'm turning into an angry old man. But,
in fairness, we didn't say you're turning into. We said you are.
But they lead me down that primrose path, Jason.
Oh, they do. Oh, like, I know all the tricks. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Did you hear what Tom Brady said about today's players and things like that? It was a very angry rant.
Okay, well, Jason hasn't heard it. Let's go ahead. And this is, again, from the Stephen A. podcast yesterday, Jason, with Tom Brady.
I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. Yeah. I don't see the excellence that I saw in the past.
Why not? Why not?
I think the coaching isn't as good as it was. I don't think the development of young players is as good as it was. The rules have allowed a lot of bad habits to get into the actual performance of the game. Mm-hmm. So I just think the product, in my opinion, is less than what it's been. I think I look at a lot of players like Ray Lewis and Rodney Harrison and Ronnie Lott, and guys that impacted the game in a certain way, and every hit they would have made would have been a penalty. Mm. You hear coaches complaining about their own player being tackled and not necessarily, why don't they talk to their player about how to protect themselves? We used to work on the fundamentals of those things all the time. Now they're trying to be regulated all the time. Offensive players need to protect themselves. It's not up to the defensive player to protect the offensive player. A defensive player needs to protect himself. I didn't throw the ball to certain areas because I was afraid players were going to get knocked out. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. Wow. I didn't throw it to the middle when I played Ray Lewis because you knock him out of the game, and I couldn't afford to lose a good player.
Jason, get off my lawn.
Yeah, I had a chance to listen to that, though, because I agree with pretty much everything he says there. But do you think that this is now the trickle-down of the concussion at its highest where moms and dads would not let their kids play football?
No, I don't think that's what it was. Of all the arguments that, and I like Tom Brady. I think he's a really smart, successful guy. Obviously a great player, but I would disagree with where the hill he's choosing in this conversation to die on. Because I'll be honest, you know, you guys having covered your teams in the 90s, and there's some guys that I love on that team, right? I love you. Dorsey Levins is a good friend. Antonio Freeman. I mean, some of the hits that I saw Free take, I'm sorry. I don't care how much you're trying as a quarterback. And I know Rodgers and I talked about this during the years that we did the show together, that, you know, you throw balls behind guys so they have to turn and go get them so they don't get led right into a hard hit. All that stuff is true. But to suggest that this approach is the reason why the game is mediocre, I think is asinine. And I'm really disappointed that that's the argument he chose to make, because he had an opportunity to, in my opinion, pinpoint what the real issue is. And that is the NFL Players Association chose increased salary and time off and less practice time over opportunities to make meaningful change to the game and to do long-term good for the players, not only playing now, but the players in the future and the players of the past, by making sure that they got better health coverage. So, yes, is the concussion concern part of it? Absolutely. And, yes, have they perhaps over-legislated? I know there's one thing that I don't like, is that it feels to me like that should be a reviewable play, because a lot of times – the way the play looks is worse than it actually is. There were a couple of instances actually on Sunday with the Chargers where I thought a guy was – Anthony Johnson had a hit where I was like, oh, my God, that guy's – I can't remember who it was on. I think it was on 84, Smart maybe. And the guy got back up, right? And because it looked violent, but it actually wasn't. And my point is that – and I'll never forget this. You know, Jeff Saturday was fine. I didn't have a bad relationship with him. I certainly didn't have a good one. Didn't really like him, frankly. And I remember after they passed the new CBA in 11, we were at the offseason in 12 when he was on the team. And he turned to Domofsky, me, Bill Huber, somebody else was standing there. And he turned to us and said, does that look like non-contact to you? You guys should write about that. And I was like, dude, you're doing pass sets. Yes, you're without pads, but like, what are we doing here? And I think that he talks about, Brady talks about in there developing young players. Well, like Mike McCarthy used to do the 6-week quarterback school, and now it's truncated into like 2 weeks. Like, you want to know why guys aren't developing? It's because they don't practice as much.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care if you're a seventh grade girls basketball team or an NFL team. If you practice less, you're not going to improve as much. That stands to reason. So, Tommy, I think you're right about the mediocrity. I think you chose the wrong aspect as the cause.
So, Jason, talking about development of teams, the Packers, I think, this year's version, I think we all agree they are getting better. Where do you think they've improved the most?
Well, I think offensively, we've seen in the last 2 weeks, Jordan Love, you know, I always use that line, right? The Matt LaFleurism of indecisive equals ineffective. I think he's been way more decisive, right? Like, you don't see him sitting in the pockets. I mean, he did have a couple of plays where he had such good protection, he had all kinds of time to survey the field. But I think he's been way more decisive. I did see Joshy's tweet from the show account about the moment for Love. Does that mean, you guys probably haven't gotten to it yet, is that Thursday is the moment, or he had the moment on Sunday?
Did he have the moment on Sunday?
Well, yeah, that's what Rob was
saying. So that was from Rob. We were talking with Rob yesterday. Yeah. You know, just kind of bringing that back because it was late in the show. And it was more of, I mean, there's a couple ways to go with it, Jason, right? Is that the moment where everything clicks, or is that the moment and that's the only moment he ends up having?
Yeah. That and I don't think either of those are true. I think he's going to have more moments. I think it's a moment. I personally don't believe that it's the defining moment because I think they're going to have a really tough time on Thursday. Maybe they stay in it and it comes down to the wire, which would be great because everyone wants to be entertained. But I think there are still, you know, I feel like I'm like always putting my thumb on the scale. Like when people are really, really down and the fan base is on one side of like the Lady Justice scale, I'm putting my thumb on the other side saying, hey, it's a process. You're seeing glimpses. Things are going to come together. I like Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed. Give them a chance. I like the way Love is trending. You know, I'm talking about moral victories after Pittsburgh. And now after the Chargers game, now I got my thumb on the other side saying, hey, there's going to be more growing pains. He's going to have some struggles. I did say to you and Homer that if they could steal this one or the Chiefs game, that I think with the way those last five games are there, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could find their way to the postseason. They got to win one of these next two for me to think that's possible. But you look at those last five games, and there's nobody that is far and away better than them. They all kind of suck to varying degrees, including the Packers. So I'm trying to balance the scales, but the bottom line is that there's more frustration and unimpressive play coming because that's what young, inexperienced teams and inexperienced quarterbacks do. So enjoy what he did on Sunday. There are more of those moments coming too, but I don't think this was a watershed moment where suddenly now he's just going to take off and be star-spangled awesome the rest of the year, and we're going to say he's the guy. I just don't believe that's the case.
Jason, what was your takeaway from the defense? Because there were at least four bad drops. And there's drops that are meh, but bad drops is when no one is around you and you drop the ball. So this could have been a 500-yard day for the defense. My fear is I don't think they're going to do well Thursday. I think they're going to give up some yards against the Chiefs. And then we're going to go into this kind of offense, not great. And Joe Barry just plods along, and then they bring him back. Where do you stand on the defense right now?
I agree with every word you said. I mean, Keenan Allen, Jesse Nelson had a great line yesterday, which it pains me to say that, as you guys know. But he said that for a good portion of the game on Sunday, the Packers' best defender was the sun, because you saw two different players lose balls in the sun that were eminently catchable, including Keenan Allen, who's one of the best receivers in the league, drop a touchdown at the goal line. Mm-hmm. And then they were going the other way at the end of the game, but all the pomp and circumstance and excitement about what Jordan Love had done was on the MVS-ish fingertips of Quentin Johnston, who is, what was he, 20 yards behind Carrington Valentine? I have no idea what Carrington Valentine was doing there.
Yeah.
But even if his momentum takes him out of bounds, they're kicking the field goal by the time, after he catches it. Or he takes it all the way to the house, and suddenly now, oh, my God, it's 27-23, and the Packers are going to have a moral victory Monday again, where Jordan Love played really well and led him to the go-ahead touchdown, and the defense gave it back. It's like 2008 with Rodgers. So I totally agree with you, and I agree, too, that they're going to play a bunch of crappy offenses or mediocre to crappy offenses down the stretch, and I think Joe Barry is back. I believe that to be the case, too. I don't think the changes will come there, because they'll look better than they actually are.
Jason, we always appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more of your thoughts this morning. Will the Intouch starts at 9 a.m. across ESPN Wisconsin.
All right, dudes. Always great. I'll talk
Happy
to you
Happy Thanksgiving,
week.
Buddy.
You bet. Even though it's overrated and it's
Yeah.
All right, bye.
See ya.
X-Golf, the place to work on your game this offseason. They've got great convenient locations. Whether you're out on, the west side, you can go to Brookfield. Maybe you're a little bit further north. Check out X-Golf in Mequon. If you're more in the downtown area, well, just head on out to American Family Field. Super easy to get to. State-of-the-art simulators give you all the information you need to keep your game sharp this offseason. Or if you're looking to improve some things with your swings, make sure you book a lesson with one of their PGA pros. But what's really kind of the secret about X-Golf? Great place to hang out and watch a game. Whether you want to check out the pro football games coming up on Sunday, big rivalry weekend, and college football this weekend as well, head out there on Saturday because they have a great bar menu and a great food menu as well. So you can sit back, relax, watch the games, hit some balls on the simulator as well. Book your tee time today, xgolfbrookfield.com or xgolfmequon.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bubble is a dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we for once grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
It's a short week, but it's still Hughes Day. Celebrates Huey Lewis in the news every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You may be asking yourself, why? Why do you guys do it? I don't know. We just started doing it, and I'm refusing to stop.
Gabe, I want to put something on the poll here.
Oh, boy.
And Ashley, you can include yourself.
Why, your hands broken?
Would you trust Chewy with the password to any of our social media accounts?
No. No. Continue, Chewy. What do you want?
Smart. And you can include yourself in this, Ashley, because you're a... I won't say it, but you know what you are. Does Gabe, Joshy, and yourself instigate me into being old and angry, or am I just old and angry?
Okay.
I was thinking as you were saying that, I was going to change it to who instigates you most, and then just put all four of the names minus yourself, Jen,
that's
Gabe,
whatever you
Josh,
want to do.
Me.
But there's no way that I'm old and angry. I'm instigated.
You are old and angry.
Old and angry.
You are old and angry.
No, I'm not.
We just make it worse.
I mean,
I'm normal.
Yeah. Well.
Gabe, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Because I just pulled up the Detroit Lions injury report going into this week.
Yes.
Did you take a look at it?
I mean, I'm I'm not going to lie to you. It took me so long to read the Packers one, I didn't have time to get to the Lions injury report.
Is this a measure of how soft this team is, though? Is this a measure? Because the Detroit Lions have four people on their injury report. Four.
Honestly, when I saw the injury report, I thought that was just like four additional people on the practice squad for the Packers that were on the injury report.
The Green Bay Packers have 16.
That seems like a lot.
American?
Yes. 16.
Or are the Packers just following actual rules and the Lions are skirting some protocols here and they should be investigated?
Well, based on the fact, I think Dan Campbell could probably take down LaFleur with half of a hand.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to bite his kneecaps off.
He's known as one of the tougher coaches in this league because he just gobbles kneecaps. I mean, that is, like, ridiculous.
It seems like, well, because the problem is, Chew, like, and yesterday was an estimation because it's a walkthrough and they're not going to have any actual practice this week leading into Thursday. I mean, the injury report was very similar last week where it was, I mean, it was double digits. I think it was 10, 11 guys.
Yeah.
But only like three guys ended up having designations, I think. Jair was doubtful. A couple other guys were questionable.
Gabe, one of the, quote, injuries for the Detroit Lions is Isaiah Buggs with an illness. So it's not even an injury. It's an illness.
Well, wait a second. What if he's got it coming out of both ends?
Three.
Well, yeah, but no, that's why. Because if you miss the rule, just so everybody is aware, the rule as it states, if you end up missing practice, so there are ways to skirt this, right? If you end up missing any time in practice, if you don't take the normal amount of reps you normally would in practice, you have to go on the injury report. So if in the case of who is the player's name, Chew?
Isaiah Buggs.
In the case of Mr. Buggs, he ended up, you know, he was sick, so he wouldn't have been able to participate in practice yesterday.
Can we park on Mr. Buggs for a second? Could you imagine 10 years down the road when some kid is at his house trick-or-treating? Hey, Mr. Buggs, what do you got today?
Oh, I got to go to Mr. Buggs' house. He's got the big candy bars. It's the best.
What should he have for a first name, though?
Captain.
Buzzy.
Buzzy Buggs.
Buzzy Buggs.
I mean, there's got to be something better than Isaiah. Huh?
But nothing's better than Buggs.
Yeah, like that's the problem. You just call him Buggs. You just shorten it. It's one word, no, like Madonna, like Cher.
Does Bugs Bunny have a actual name? Minus Doc?
I mean, his first name is Bugs.
Hmm. This joke may have played itself out already.
Yeah.
Damn. Continue with your oldness, Chew.
Why are you here?
The line change.
That's 2 days in a row. You're either here or you're not.
I mean, I'm here all the time. I'm here when you can't even. I'm like Santa.
You are the farthest thing from Santa. All right, give us some updates. Are you married yet or?
Nope, kids? Not yet. Nope, not yet.
Oh boy, yeah. Now we get to grill Ashton on his personal life.
Yeah. We can do that because I do have a fun big update that I could share.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Oh, all right.
What the hell do you do now? I think you're one of those jobs that's just like you're like assistant to the quality control.
Is this?
Yeah.
What?
So just his presence agitates you. The last question you asked in the tone in which you asked it seemed a little annoyed. Maybe not angry, but I would say there was a certain level of annoyance to it.
Yes. And it morphed into what? Anger?
A little bit toward the end, yeah.
All right, so you and the girlfriend are good.
We can give you full updates.
Yes, you asked him two questions. He hasn't answered either of those questions. He teased a big personal life update. You know, we'll have to wait and, I guess...
Hold on, you going to a break?
Yes.
Because all of a sudden now we care about breaks and when we're breaking? Because with the other guy, we didn't care about the clock. But our boss is here, so now we care about the clock?
Yeah, exactly.
Gabe, don't. He's not really a boss. It's just in name only. So don't capitulate to him, okay?
All right. Okay, then we'll have to park here. All right, Ashton, now you got to answer questions.
Go to break.
All right, go to break, and we're coming back.
Now because Chewy said it. Now do it.
Black Friday savings starts now at Ewald Automotive. Get the biggest savings of the year. 2,000, 4,000, up to 10,000. $1,000 off, all backed by their low price guarantee. And you can also get Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. But that's not all. Get $3,000 over book value for your trade-in and your choice of financing as low as 0%. Yeah, all of that at Ewald Automotive with the lowest lease payment of the year. Hurry to Ewald's Black Friday sales event. Select models approved for details. Offer expires at month's end. It all starts at EwaldAuto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
All right, cleaning some things up here at the end of hour one of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Dude Tuesday. Jen, man. Jen literally flying across the country. Started in Seattle, ended up in Jersey. I believe she's in Jersey today, but she will be back tomorrow. That's a lot.
That's a long ways.
That's a lot. But we also have Ashton in today, and Chewy was asking for some life updates because with Ashton, for those who don't know, now the executive producer of the show. So he has a lot of other things that he does. That's his title, Chew.
I don't know. The tickled big cat.
So he's the executive producer of the show. So technically part of his job is overseeing our show along with the other responsibilities he has at the station. And when Ashton was producing the show every day, you know, we would get the life updates. You know, for a long time, Chewy was giving him a hard time about not having a girlfriend. Then, you know, we found out that he has a girlfriend. Things seemingly have been going okay. So Chewy asked for a life update from Ashton.
All right, food truck. Over?
Food truck is done for the year. Another successful season for Rot's Hot. Stay tuned to Rot's Hot's social media pages for fun things in the offseason and 2024's calendar.
Better numbers than the previous year?
Way better.
Okay.
All right, so we're up expansion. A year over year.
Yeah.
Expansion.
In the works, 5-year plan, let's call it.
Okay, now what do you do?
With my life or just every day here?
I have no idea what you do. I think it's fake. I have 1,900... content directors, okay.
You have one content director.
We have three content directors.
You have one.
Gabe.
So in Chewy's mind, you, Brian D., Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, all are all his boss.
Which makes you offensive quality control. Okay, so Evan would be the OC.
Offense is humming.
Brian D. would be the quarterback's coach, and you are offensive quality control.
Offense is humming, so I mean,
so technically you're above Chewy in the food chain, but not really.
What do I do? I do anything that you hear on the station that isn't your own voice talking. This is the generic you. I have a hand in that. I'm also in a lot of meetings for content planning and ideation, and I help Brian D. and Evan Cohen with whatever they need help with.
Am I still left out of the loop on a lot of things?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Isn't that
I feel it.
Isn't
feel
that for
it.
The better, though?
I think it is for the better.
Yeah. I mean, when we need to include you for all Catch 20 Chew, then yes, we will for sure make sure you're on the books.
Gabe, when are we doing that? Are we doing it?
I mean,
big prep meeting right now. There you go, guys.
I was going to text you after the show, but, you know, here we are. You asked the question, might as well ask, can you do it tomorrow after the show?
Yes. Okay. All right, Ashton, I need a little help.
So we're
we got time. We got time, right, Gabe?
Wait, do you have more questions for me, or are you going to sprinkle these out throughout the show?
Okay, I will give you this credit, though. You are kind of the resident chef of the show, or you used to be.
Thank you.
You were a part of
it. Yeah, take that, Gabe.
My Thanksgiving is lame. Ooh. So this is what happened. 9 days ago, I call this Italian deli, makes the best Thanksgiving dinner. Turkey, all the sides, everything. 9 days ago, they said, we're full, we're not taking any more. So now I'm in a pickle. Okay, so, but I got my buddy who's brining the turkey, which is supposed to be out. Is that going to be outstanding?
I mean, it should be. I had a Friendsgiving over the weekend, and it was a brined turkey. I did not prepare the turkey. Yes. One of our teammates here did, but it was the best turkey I've ever had in my life. It was brined and then smoked.
Now, this is, and then I'm in charge of the sides, but listen to how boring this is. Mashed potatoes.
Hell yeah.
Corn.
No.
Peas, and I got rolls.
Yeah, you do.
That's bad, right?
I mean, if you have rolls.
What do I do? My wife is back in Wisconsin because half of the kids are there and half are down here. So we figured we'd split. She'd have Thanksgiving there with my mother-in-law. And I'm doing it for the kids and a few friends.
But that is just boring. I got nothing. I got no juice. What do I need to add?
Now, instead of corn, have you thought of a cornbread casserole?
No, there's corn. I'm having corn because I like corn.
I know. I'm saying you could, you know, plus it up and just make it cornbread casserole, perhaps.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want the corn, I think you just keep the corn there. I mean, if you want to spice it up, maybe. I mean, I know a lot of people go mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Will be, you
I
know.
Oh, I could do a mac and cheese?
Yeah. You need mac and cheese?
What about squash? How hard is squash to do?
Depends upon the type of squash you're looking at.
What are you trying to make?
I don't know. Give the meal some color.
Well, corn's already yellow.
Yeah, but corn with white is like... Can't do that.
What's the dessert situation?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I
just gonna go to the store.
I don't know where to go.
What do you want?
I want a pumpkin cheesecake.
Ooh. Hmm. Man, if you give me 9 days' notice, I might have been able to help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is, like, I guarantee you, had you come up with your wife and you wanted some pumpkin cheesecake, Ashton would have made a pumpkin cheesecake and delivered it to you. But tough to deliver it to Florida.
Yeah, he really followed through on the borscht. Thanks a lot.
Your mother-in-law is the one that bought you borscht.
She
made it.
Yeah, yes. Even better.
Would you rather have your mother-in-law's borscht or Ashton's borscht?
That just sounds weird.
I don't know. I haven't had Ashton's borscht.
And you never will because I'm never making borscht.
Wait, so what was the big tease, Ashton?
I guess we'll find out now we're number two, huh?
God bless America.
This is your fault, Chewy. Way to go. There's so many questions you haven't
asked. I guess maybe we find out in 2 minutes. We've also got some Packer things to get to and some reaction on the talk and text line about the NFL being soft today. We dive into that. 2 minutes, Jen Gabe and Chewy.